Amen. Gifts. Today, of course, is Epiphany. It's the 12th day of Christmas. Tomorrow is Epiphany, truly, but today is Epiphany Sunday that we celebrate. We remember the Magi mainly for the gifts that they had presented to the infant Jesus. We are moved by the fact that they traveled so far to deliver their presents they wanted to give. We are inspired by the fact that they presented valuable gifts, perhaps the best that they could offer to that newborn king. But of course, many of us think it's kind of silly to give a child the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But we think of our own Christmas and the gift of giving as being inspired, hopefully, by the gifts that the Magi brought. There's no doubt that they did offer fine gifts, and there is no doubt that their gift is inspiring to you and I still today. The first thing today that we're going to talk about is God's gift and our gifts. You see, the gifts of the Magi were given in response to a gift that they had received. They gave because they had been given too. They gave their gifts because God had shown them a star. God had shown them a star which they followed to the Christ child. You see, can we even begin to imagine? Can we even begin to imagine what an astounding gift that was? Can you imagine the gift that they were given? You see, the Magi were astrologers, and likely from the area of what is now modern-day Iran and Iraq. They spent time, and most of their time, looking at the stars and gazing and looking up to the heavens. And out of all the stars on which they could have focus, God led them to see the one that would lead them to Jesus. You see, that's awe-inspiring. That's a miracle. That's amazing in itself. Think about it. How many stars are there in the universe, up in the galaxies, in the sky? The number is larger than my simple mind can comprehend. We can't imagine the number of stars. But just to get some kind of an idea, scientists have said for years that what we're talking about is that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches in the world combined. And that's a lot of stars, folks. No wonder that when you and I look at through the night sky, the vastness of it all amazes us. And when we do such stargazing, we are seeing only a tiny fraction of our solar system, which is, in turn, only a fraction of the universe. Do you ever remember, as a child or a kid growing up, do you ever remember just laying down out in the yard or somewhere or another and just looking up at the sky? To see the clouds going by and seeing the things happen, but of a late evening and of a night, to lay and look at the stars and to see and to think of all the millions of stars and the things of wishing upon a star and talking about Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star that our children sang a few weeks ago, that wonderful star. I was thinking about that this week because many years ago, one of my best friends that lived next door to me growing up, his name was George Edwards, and George and I played together all of our lives. The first 2 years that we lived at this particular house that we had moved to, he was my next door neighbor across the field. And it was a big field. It was not like right over there. It was a long way over there across the field, probably about where Mr. Wade's mailbox is on the curve down there across the field from back here. It's where George lived. And he and I, that summer and a whole school year and another summer before we had to go to school. That's how young we were. We played and we did things and we would stay out till we were so filthy when we'd come home. And, you know, it was just like Mama would say, I'm just going to have to run you through the hose pipe or something before you come in here. But we did things. We enjoyed life and we lived that life. And I can remember we had a pond behind my house, an irrigation pond, but I knew not to get in it. I didn't like it. But there was always such a pretty place down there. It was kind of a little beachy place that some people had fixed, and we would always go down there and sit and put our feet in the water, just that little bit. And I can always remember laying down on the back of that thing and looking up at the sky and looking up at the stars and thinking about those things, because life was simple and life was fun. You think about what God gives us in this world that we live in. God gives us simple things, but He gives us magnificent things, because those are the things that we can't comprehend. We can't comprehend the sands at the seashore, and we can't comprehend all the stars in the sky. You see, no wonder that we can readily echo the words to the Psalm 8, 3, and 4, when it says, "When I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained before thee, what is man, what is humanity, that thou art mindful of him?" And yet, out of all that vastness, God directed the Magi to that one star that made all the difference. That one star. The second thing today is God's gifts is for you and me. You know, we have lost sight of how astounding this event is in terms of its implications to us. We just say, "Oh, it's another Sunday. Oh, it's just another day." I fear that we lose something if we lose sight of the wonder of that truth, that whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever meaneth me. Do you remember that song? Whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever meaneth me. You know, it's just something. It means me. It means you. The astounding thing about the revelation of the wise men is that they were Gentiles, people. And according to the Gospels, the first announcement of the birth of the Messiah was to the Jewish shepherds, men who lived on the fringe of Hebrew society. But the second announcement was to the Gentiles, people who lived on the outside of that society, people who lived further away. But you know, today you and I are the Gentiles. The announcement to them was the first announcement to people like you and me. John Wesley called the Magi the first fruits of the Gentiles. Even though it was always God's intention for the Hebrews to be the light to the nations and for Gentiles to be included in His kingdom, it took the coming of Jesus as the Messiah to throw that way wide open for you and me. The doors were open. The windows were flung up. Things were open for us to come and be a part of this kingdom. You see, it took a lot. Even then, back then in that day, it was a hard sell to say, "Oh, you mean those smelly shepherds? You know, they're just on the edge of society. They're not even up here in the temple. They get to know." And then those Gentiles, you know, they're kind of heathen people. Now, they get to know it too. It was a hard sell then. And for you and I today, sometimes it still is. It took much debate at the heroic efforts of people like Paul to make that full Gentile inclusion into the church a reality. It took a long time later for that to happen. But God's truth won out. It won the race. It won the victory, because people, salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus and nothing else. We come in from different backgrounds, all of us, but we all come in the same way. We come from so many places and so many walks of life, but we all come in the very same way through Christ our Lord. God went to the extreme of extremes to make salvation possible for people like you and me, for people like us, who were the outsiders. We will gain something very valuable here at the beginning of this new year if you and I will claim the truth that the salvation of people like you and I, of someone like you, and of someone like me, is a gift from God. You know, we're not anything special. We're special people because God created us, but we're not just because we're in church, or we're here because we say, "Well, you know, well, I made it to church today and you didn't. What's wrong with you? We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't say that. We shouldn't make people feel bad because they're not here. We should say, I missed you. I hope you're okay. I hope everything's all right. What's going on? Is there anything I can do to help you? The third thing this morning is God's gift is for everybody. You know, we may lose sight of just how astounding the episode of the Christ event was for everyone back then. God went to great lengths to let the Magi know about the birth of Jesus. He went to great lengths because what He was saying to the Magi was what He wanted to say to the whole world. His sign to the Magi signaled from the very beginning that God's gift of His Son was for all of us, not just a few of us, but for all of us. Not just the select few, not just the chosen ones as we seem to think sometimes, but the revelation of God to the Magi was an eye-opening experience for those wise men. No doubt, but the revelation to the early readers of Matthew's gospel was just as much of an eye-opening experience as well. You see, the Magi were foreigners from a foreign land. They were Arabic. They come from Iran and Iraq. They come from that part of the world. They were practitioners of another religion. And they were astrologers. They studied the stars, the signs. They bore characteristic after characteristic that should have, the people in Israel would have thought, disqualified them from having a positive experience with Christ the Lord, the Messiah. And yet God showed them the star. Think about that. God showed them the star. They saw the star and they followed that star. They were Gentiles, and yet God gave them the gift of His Son. Jesus came to them just as much as He came to you and me. He came to them just as much as He came to you and me. Wow. He came for the people of Israel. He came for the people of Iraq and Iran. He came for the people of Kipling. He came for the people of Fuquay. And they saw some of them that need to be got because they can't drive. There's a lot of things that we need to say, Lord, help them, because they're not doing things this way. We need God come for us all. He come for that person that's sitting at the stoplight putting their makeup on and playing on their phone and not going when the light turns. He comes for that person that sits behind them and gets upset and blows the horn and talks to them when they can't hear them. He comes for us all. He comes for us all. He comes for us in the midst of our everydayness. He comes for all of us. He's a great, great gift that keeps on giving. You see, we will gain something very valuable here at the beginning of this new year if you and I claim and reclaim that gospel truth, that the coming of Christ means that those walls have come down. The walls will come down. They'll fall down. That the door is open to all of us, and that the church be gathered around Christ will be the church that makes no distinctions because of race, gender, or social standing. That we will all come together. We'll all be one. The fourth thing today is that we need to respond to God's gift. How are we responding to that gift that's been given to us? We don't always take advantage of the gifts that we are given, do we? Sometimes we don't even open a gift for a long time. I was given a gift for my birthday that's still sitting on the floor in my dining room, in the box, not opened. Because I haven't felt like I've had the time to do it because of where I'm going to put it. That's another thing. But, you know, I appreciate the gift, I like the gift, but yet that gift has not been useful to me so far because I've been too busy to use that gift, I think. You see, when the wise men came to Herod's court at Jerusalem and inquired as to where the king of the Jews was to be born, the priests and the scribes knew the answer because they knew the Bible. Well, of course we know the Bible weren't put together all back then, but they knew the scroll, they knew the scriptures, they knew the tradition, they knew what they had been told. They had it with them. They knew that he was to be born in Bethlehem. So the wise men headed off to Bethlehem. Can you believe that the priests and scribes didn't go with them? Think about that. That they let these foreign people that was coming into their land, and they told them where everything was happening, and they just sent them on their way, and they didn't go with them and enjoy this thing and be witnesses as well. They just sent them on. Oh, yeah. So Kierkegaard said, what a difference. The three kings had only a rumor to go by, but it moved them to make that long journey. The scribes were so much better informed, they knew it. They were better versed. They sat and they studied the scriptures, but it did not make them move. You know, if you read your Bible and it doesn't change your life, if you read your Bible and it doesn't make anything change, doesn't make a difference, how you live your life, how you share your story, something's wrong. Something's not right. For the Hebrews here today, the Israelites, it didn't make a difference to them. They studied the scriptures, but it didn't make them move. They didn't get up and go. Who had the more truth that day? Who had more truth in their heart, in their mind, in their curiosity? The three kings who followed a rumor, or the scribes who remained sitting with all their knowledge? You know, we can sit in this place, we can sit in a Sunday school room, we can sit in a Bible study, and we can learn things and know things. And unless we go out and do something about it, what are we doing? As an old lady you told me years ago, she said, folks stand up and sing standing on the promises, but mostly they sit on the premises. Think about that. We sit on the premises. We sit in church. We sit in a Sunday school class. We sit in a Bible study. We sit at home. We know a lot of things, but we don't do a lot of things. We aren't doing what we should be doing. The three kings did something. It makes me wonder about you and I today. God has given us such tremendous gifts in this world that we live in. God has given us salvation. He has included people like us in His great plan of salvation. He's included me. He's included you. God has given us our Christian fellowship, our Bibles. He's given us a free country in which to exercise our faith, and so much more. How, though, are we responding to the tremendous gifts that He has given us? A poet put it this way when he said, what can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give Him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give Him? Who knows the rest? I give Him my heart. How many of us has given our heart? But are we really giving Him our hearts today? Are we really giving Him our lives? What are we doing? The early Jewish Christians had a very hard time accepting the fact that God wanted everybody in the church, the Jews, the Gentiles, and on the same terms. We all have the same terms. Nobody gets in there any better, any quicker, with any more room than anyone else. We all get in there the same way. Are we ready today to accept the fact that God welcomes all into His family? We withhold a very large part of our greatest gift, our lives, from God if we withhold our hearts from anyone. And what a gift We cost ourselves if we do not accept God's gift of that great cross-culture collection of people who can and should make up the church. You know, if we give that up and if we don't accept some of the differences and some of the things we don't always agree with, but if we don't love people and want them to be a part of who we are, we're missing the boat. Many, many years ago, an actress who played the mother on a television series called Eight's Enough passed away in real life. And her death was written into the story line of that show. In one particular episode, the family members begin to find Christmas presents hidden around the house that she had acquired for each of them. Each gift found was a reminder of her love for them. You know, you and I are surrounded by people for whom God has the great gift of salvation, who would be a great gift of God to us. We're surrounded by those people every day. They are hiding amongst us in plain sight. They're all around us. As we find them, we need to love them and we need to relate to them, and we will be reminded of God's love for them and for us. What a gift that will be. Let us pray.